Today is such a cool day for me. Listen, I don't know how he'll feel about this, but for me personally, I was like, oh my God, I want this guy on. He's so cool. He's such a cool guy. He's a family man. He's a purposeful radio career programmer. He's a music man. He's somebody who has worked for some really amazing companies. But listen to this. He is also somebody who's not really hopped around a lot. He is not a job hopper. He has worked long stretches in places making big differences. That sounds pretty cool, right? Voice tracker in multiple markets, music director, APD in places, programmer, ops manager. He's done a lot. Today's guest makes a difference every single place that he goes. Sounds like exactly the kind of individual that we like to talk with on our podcast. Now, listen. Welcome to the Encouragers, the Radio Rally podcast on Apple, Audible, Spotify, or almost anywhere you get your podcast. We also let people know that, look, you can always go to our website, rainmakerpathway.com, and you can grab an episode there, especially the more current episodes. But they're all there. You just have to hunt and peck and go through it. Look in our free blog section. It's easy. Our goal, no matter how you access our podcast, remains the same. It is to encourage radio pros at all levels. If you're a regular listener of this podcast, you know that we have a fresh weekly episode featuring a radio pro active in our business each and every Sunday. This isn't about the past or talking about what radio used to be. That didn't do us any good. We're all about discovering what's working today, right now. To enjoy our podcast, you only need to be interested in others, open to encouragement, advice, connections, tools to get ahead, and ways to make your radio career more profitable and successful. Each and every week, I have an opportunity for you as we get to see the snapshot of an individual in our business right now. It always allows us to see radio from a different perspective, maybe a different career arc than yours or mine, and hear how they're embracing radio right now. My name is Lloyd Ford. I'm with Rainmaker Pathway Consulting Works. Call ourselves RPC. It's just easier. Every single person in our business, the radio business, knows that, historically, forever, programming consultants have been interested in and focused on music, talent, coaching, marketing, those programming elements that improve local radio brands, especially ratings, except one. That one exception is us. We are absolutely about helping clients improve their programming elements known to increase the value of their actual local radio brands. But we also help local radio owners and managers leverage those improvements for bigger revenue growth. In addition to our on-air coaching, we also help local owners and managers with the talent that they really worry about, their sales team. What good is improving ratings without revenue increases? Even our name means pathway to money, Rainmaker Pathway Consulting Works. When we go to work for a local radio client, they follow our collaborative process. Their revenue and their profit margin rises. That's the name of the game. And we do have some special news for radio personalities, too. We know that radio companies have sped things up. They don't always provide professional-level personality coaching. So we know your career is important to you. We have opened a limited number of opportunities for local personalities to receive coaching from us. It is limited. We do make it affordable for local air talent. This work is to be paid monthly in advance. Check to see if we have a slot available for you. When you need help, we're there for you. Schedule a meetup now by email. First consultation is free and confidential, FORD at rainmakerpathway.com. We're less than a minute away from welcoming Chase Daniels. He's the ops manager for just a whole bunch of radio stations for Odyssey and Cleveland. So by the way, he knows a lot. Wait till you see all the things that he's done. A big thank you to Joe Kelly for producing the Encouragers Radio Rally podcast, and a thanks to justjoeproductions.com for creating our audio footprint and distributing our podcast. See what you, your sales manager, individual sellers, programmers, and personalities can get for free directly from our website all the time. We do not block out things and put things behind paywalls. This is where you'll find a special section that has over 1,000 articles of encouragement each week and more coming, including our Encouraging Sales Success series, and our More Than Live and Local series. Now it's on to our guest. Chase, welcome to the Encouragers, the Radio Rally podcast. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me.
Man, it is such a pleasure. First, I don't hear an accent. I really don't hear an accent with you. Can you share where are you originally from?
I'm from, it's a tough question to answer, but I'll answer it anyway. Stony Brook, New York, that's in Long Island. And I moved when I was around 11 or 12 years old to Jacksonville. So I think, you know, watching home videos of myself, I had an accent at one point and it was definitely like, you know, Brooklyn almost, but somehow I dropped it.
And then you moved to Jacksonville, which is really, I've always thought of Jacksonville as being sort of the redneck capital of Southeast Georgia. So it's sort of, it's different than you think, right?
Yeah, it's definitely different. And I appreciate it more now that I appreciated it. I didn't appreciate it so much when I was living there. And then, you know, coming back for visits to see my mom, my dad, and now my middle brother's down there. It's definitely, it's beautiful. There's beautiful parts of that whole area.
Isn't that human nature? We always kind of take things for granted and then we move away and we go, man, I really missed that, right?
Yes. And unfortunately, it's always, you know, too late, right?
Well, look, there's this. My wife and I talk about this all the time. No matter where you live, you can live right next to the Eiffel Tower. I don't care where you live. You're not going over there.
Yeah.
You live there. You're not going there. Everybody says, oh, what's it like to live in Paris? Or what's it like to live in Orlando? Or what's it like to live in Hollywood? Or no, none of that matters.
Yeah. The ongoing joke in Cleveland is that Clevelanders have never visited the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. It's everybody who comes to visit the town.
Yeah. Could you take us to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? Right.
That's right.
All right. So let's talk about BF, or what I call before radio. I want to tap into you as a radio listener. Before you worked in our radio industry, did you have any cool experiences with radio back then?
Sure. So, you know, living in Long Island, we were able to pick up, you know, New York City radio stations and Long Island radio stations. And the New York City stations at the time, I don't know if it's changed, were very fringe. So you could just about get Z100 in. You could just about get, you know, the other options from the city in. And you had to be, you know, very careful and hold that antenna up and put it next to the window. And I was in a bedroom in New York growing up, and my parents didn't have a TV. I didn't have a TV in there before smartphones, obviously, before, you know, all computers, internet access. So I was obsessed and got obsessed with just some great radio from Z100 when they were, you know, in the early 90s, when they were struggling, trying to figure out their identity. Well, I love their identity. And it was, you know, Nirvana and going into Mariah Carey. It was all over the place. So I got to hear that and, you know, also listen to the local stations, Walk and WBLI, and hear all the different kinds of takes on Top 40 radio.
Yeah, look, I've never said this to anybody, but I'll say it to you. All of us Southerners, I'm from Louisiana originally, we all get a little jealous. Like, if you're real close to New York City, it's like y'all start talking about how you got into radio, and it's like, damn it, they got all the stuff.
I know.
Right?
It's the best of the best, and it probably always will be.
Mm. So look, let's get a head check right up front. I want you to name the first song, or maybe the artist that got your attention first, or maybe the first concert you ever went to. We just want to get a time stamp.
I think, you know, bringing back Nirvana. I'm not as big as a Nirvana fan as I'm probably leading the audience into thinking I am right now, but definitely those were my formative years, and that was the band that was everywhere. And, you know, and Kurt, you know, what happened to Kurt and what he did. And I remember that being a moment in my life. I was like, wow, that just, you know, I was young and impressionable. And I was like, wow, that's news. And biggest band on the planet is no more. So definitely that, had I had known at the time that my first concert would be asked so many times on, you know, resetting passwords and, you know, in radio and in bios and everything else, I would definitely have picked a different one, but it was Weird Al Yankovic.
Oh my God, that's great.
I wish it was somebody cooler, but
wait, did you get to meet him?
I didn't get to meet him, but he came down the aisle and he touched my shoulder.
Ah, moments with greatness.
There you go. With
Chase Daniels. Yes. So listen, I really kind of clock you as starting in the radio business is at 102.9 The Point. Yeah. Can you tell us about being hired for the first time in the radio business and what that meant to you?
Sure. So 102.9 The Point was probably the first, second or third all 80 stations that were signing on all over the place in the early 2000s. And I had driven everybody in Jacksonville probably nuts by calling the request line at multiple stations, you know, on the weekends or after hours and, you know, weeknights while doing homework. And I wasn't the guy that was asking for requests. I was the guy asking about, hey, why'd you play a jingle there? Or how come you talk there? And everybody would roll their eyes and hang up. Right. But this one guy, Mark Bell, who was running 102.9 The Point, he actually went out of his way to answer the questions legitimately and taught me a lot just over the phone. And I was 15 years old. And I remember him telling me, you know, when you turn 16, call me back and we'll get you a job here. And I think I was 17 when it actually happened, but he stood true to his word.
That's all incredible. I mean, it's incredible that you picked up on the, where did the jingle, why do the jingles go here? And why, plus it's just a, you just got suckered right into the business.
I did.
Let's be honest. Okay. So I'm scratching my head a little bit here because we've got Long Island. Then we've got Jacksonville. Look, I'm Southern. I know where Jacksonville is. You attended Santa Fe Community College. Wait, what? How did that happen? What was your goal back then with Santa Fe Community College?
Sure. So Santa Fe is in Gainesville, which is, you know.
Oh, it is.
Yeah, right next to University of Florida. They had very, my friends went to UF. Some of them went to Santa Fe. They're very close knit. It's been a bit since I made that drive, but probably about an hour and 15 minutes away from each other. And so when I started going to college, I don't think the plan for me at the time was to stay in the radio. I didn't think I was good enough. I didn't think, I didn't know what I wanted to do with it. And so when I went to Santa Fe, the plan was to be in IT. I was taking classes on code and, technical support, just trying to figure it out. And I went there for about a year and a half.
You know, you have a conversation with somebody and they're saying stuff like that. You are definitely talking to a chief engineer and not a programmer.
Right.
I'm just saying that doesn't sound right.
That's true. Maybe I should have went the wrong path all along. That's what I should have done, right?
Oh, I don't know.
Get the best of both worlds.
There's very few of those guys. So listen, what about Cool 96.9? I think I'm getting this right. Sister station. You also began working there. How did that develop? Did you have a desire to be valuable and just learn more?
Yeah. So the low hanging fruit answer to that was I was working part-time at 102.9 The Point, driving back and forth between Gainesville and Jacksonville, which again is like an hour, hour and a half. And I was doing that every weekend. And quite frankly, I wanted the most amount of hours possible, right? So to make my trip worthwhile, a bunch of the PDs in that building just got together and they're like, hey, you know, why don't you voice track Sunday night on Cool 96.9? And then you're live Saturday on 102.9 The Point. And then Sunday night, I think for a while, I was on the news talk station WOKB running the board. I mean, I literally went up and down that hall, went home to sleep. I never saw my parents and would just drive back home and did that for, like I said, about a year and a half before I got the call to move on to something else, which I think you'll get into in a minute.
Well, and look, all these programmers liked you, right? Cause you're like, I could do that. I could do that. I'll do that.
Yeah. Hard work. Yeah, for sure. I mean, I asked the right questions and I was definitely annoying at the time. Looking back, I'm like, I was very blessed with people that were very nice for sure.
See, it's so interesting that you say that, but being a programmer myself, you know, to have somebody on your team who cares about what they're doing, who wants to learn more, who wants to soak it up, that is not thought of as somebody who is an irritant.
I appreciate that. I guess that's what they were thinking of too, for sure.
All right. So let's talk about this. Did you have a mentor back then? Or maybe we should just say, What was the ultimate goal, if you can remember back?
My mentor definitely was the guy who hired me, Mark Bell. And I still reach out to him occasionally. He's out of the business now, but he was a great, great, great guy to me. And there's no way I would have ever been in the business without him. And so he was the assistant program director of The Point. And Kat Thomas, who's now at Hubbard in Seattle, was the program director of APE and of The Point. And like I said, about a year and a half into it was when it changed. But a couple of months before that year and a half, I sent Kat a note and I said, "Hey, thank you so much for everything. I love my job, but I can't keep going back and forth. I'm not making friends here. Everything that happened in college was happening on the weekend, and my parents were great. They were very supportive. I said maybe to myself, I'll get a part-time job, maybe even in radio in Gainesville. I'll figure that out." And so I sent Kat an email, and Kat responded with, "Give me a minute. I'm working on something." Something to those words. And
Now,
what the heck does that mean, right?
yeah, I will ask about that. I'm sure we're going to float right into it. Listen, you were part of flipping 102.9 The Point. Am I understanding that right? Did that inspire you to really want to get more fully into programming? It sounds like you were fated to do this, by the way.
Yeah, that was towards the end of the Cox my tenure there. But absolutely, that was first of all odd because that was the station, that was the frequency that gave me my start. So I was it helped me not get too attached in the future to brands and reminding me that I don't own the place, that I just work here. And I mean that. I mean it was definitely okay, this is something that can potentially always happen. How do you come out on top of this? So I definitely lended a hand in the flip of that station with some other folks, and that was a great experience because I mean it happened pretty quickly. I want to say 2 weeks from us being told that we were going to do that to it being on the air.
It's interesting. I won't tell you what, because it's not relevant here, but I will say that I was listening to something recently, and they were talking about the value of critical thinking and the value of learning to cope with things. And look, in our business, you better be able to cope with change pretty good, right?
Absolutely. Jonathan Reed, who is no longer with us, was actually my competition in Jacksonville, and him and I were very close. And we knew each other for a very long time. And he, when I got let go at APE, which was the station I, grew up listening to and loved and will always be the station that got away, he was actually let go around the same time across the street. And he said something to me that I'll never forget, which is fall in love with the business, not the call letters. And I'll never forget that because it's the truth.
So smart. And already in this conversation with you, you have lit up the value and importance of relationship with other people. It's so admirable. And I hope people will walk away from this learning that, going, oh, okay, this is how you do it right. Now, let's do 2009, because we just all love these years, right? You become the APD and music director. You joined this X1029, which I think we're sort of talking about. You're getting more experiencing and really headed toward being programmer, right?
Yeah, so at APE, I was hired as the afternoon guy, and I was there for several years. But during that time, Kat made me the assistant program director. And then Kat left to go to Austin, and JR, who you'll hear a lot about in the next couple of minutes, because without him, I wouldn't be where I am now. He comes in to run WAPE and gave me music director. So I was APD, MD, afternoons, and then I helped sign on X1029, all in a period of about 2 years.
So this is really a whirlwind of things, right?
Yeah, it was a lot. It was a lot of experience in my hometown, really, without having to move around. I was learning from a bunch of really smart people.
Yeah, this is the fun part, because like here you are, it sounds like you're jumping from this stat to the other, but if you look at your resume, you're not a job hopper. More
No.
like the jobs are hopping on you.
Yeah.
It's like, so look, there's this amazing radio brand. If you're in the South, maybe it's, I don't know, maybe it's just a certain format. You say it whatever way you want. 95.1 WAPE. You just said it's the one that got away. It doesn't look like it got away. You're the assistant program director, music director, and afternoon personality. What was it like going to work on that brand?
It was awesome. It was definitely something that I didn't take for granted during the time that it happened, because going back to what you said, you know, what was the dream? What did you aspire to be? I was doing IT and stuff like that, but yeah, in a perfect world, it was definitely radio. I just didn't think I was good enough for it. So the best station in that town will always be WAPE. That brand. I remember we did a case study when I was there, and they came up with the top five brands in Jacksonville, Florida. And I'm not gonna be able to rattle them all off, but I can tell you number one was Budweiser, and number two was WAPE.
Man, that's pretty good stuff right there.
Yeah.
Now, you know, Weiss, you brought up this idea of, I didn't think I was good enough. You know, they talk about imposter syndrome, you know. Did you have this?
I think so. I think I still have it. I think that's what drives me, man. I'll be honest with you. I think it really does drive me. I always feel like I'm fooling somebody. I'm like, they'll figure me out one of these days.
Oh my God. He thinks that he is fooling everybody. I love this. All right. Listen, just so that we can make people understand that you're not fooling anyone, you did almost 9 years at Cox Radio.
Yes.
I know you had to learn so much. That is a really, really dynamic company with a lot of great people. I'm going to say that twice. There are a lot of great people in Cox Radio, now Cox Media. But you became the music director for Radio 104.1. Now, I'm going to slow down here because it says you did that remotely.
Yes.
How did that develop for you? And what was that experience like? And what does all that mean?
So, Tim Clark, who now works for Odyssey, he came in when JR left to go back to Atlanta, and we'll get back to that. So when he came in, he was hired basically to be afternoons and program director. So I left. I went on my merry way. While doing that, what was the question again?
Well, the question is really about, you know, this working remotely as the music director for Radio 104.1, right?
Sure. So right around that time, somebody had told me that they were looking for somebody to be able to use Music Master and basically schedule a radio station remotely. And at that time for me, you know, this goes on all the time now, but at that time I was like, oh, that's wild. So I can do this from anywhere. So
right.
I had done that in between gigs, really. And I had kept that throughout most of my time when I was in Atlanta. And it was a great job. I worked with Brian Ram, who's the PD there. And basically, they told me the rotations, you know, they set the ads, and I scheduled the music, and I did it for 3 or 4 years till I think they brought it in the house. But it was a great experience for me to do another format, really, because I had only done pop, and I started to dabble in alternative when we signed on X. But I wasn't doing the logs there. So I was doing the logs at MRQ.
And look, did doing another format, did it provide a sort of relief for you? Pulling the parachute and doing something totally different.
Absolutely. Yeah. It gave me outlook that, okay, I can do more than one format. Cause at the time I really didn't do any, you know, it was all, I did some 80s, you know, at the point I was on the air, but I was doing scheduling, you know, APE, which is top 40, obviously. So I had never scheduled another format, and absolutely, it was a completely different clock structure. It was a completely different attitude. You know, it was okay to play three dudes in a row. I mean, everything was completely different.
Well, and look, you know that there's like this fear in your mind when you're younger, you're like, and especially going through all the transition of the duopolies and then, you know, forget all that. It's now full on and it's all this consolidation. It's like the fear is, man, what if I get pigeonholed and I'm just this?
That's right. That's right. There's a little bit of that to that as well.
All right. So there's something else going on about this time. The world is changing as we know the world to be, you know, about 2007, 2008, somewhere in there, you know, the iPhone is introduced, Facebook, the beginning of social media transformation and attention and disruption, totally new world. You know, I say that that period of time is really when the 21st century really started happening. Yeah. Did you feel that right away? What was your first smartphone?
My first smartphone was the Sidekick on T-Mobile.
Oh, yeah.
I love that. All the Paris Hiltons, you know, they all had that thing.
Yeah, so you were cool just like them, right? So
I loved it. You know, it's funny. I didn't have it. There's actually a quick radio story to it. So I didn't have it for long. My general manager saw me use it, and he goes, "Aren't we paying for your phone?" And I said, "Yeah." And he goes, "Can you respond to work emails with that?" I said, "Actually, no, it's only, you know," he's like, "Yeah, you need to get yourself a real phone."
Oh, man, you've got to be an adult, he said.
I know. Right? It's like, but that was my first smartphone.
All right. So listen, what was your relationship with social media at first?
So, yeah, definitely, you know, around that time, obviously, MySpace was the big dog. And we definitely embraced it at Ape, the night guy more so than me. And that was obviously the wheelhouse that was using it more, were the younger people listening at night. But yeah, we did the top 8 at 8, you know, with combining it with the MySpace top 8. We were getting.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we were getting cool with that kind of stuff. It was great. But I knew it was going to be different when the iPod took off, and there was no radio in the iPod. You had to buy an accessory to make it a radio, and I was like, oh boy, that's gonna change things.
Yeah, nobody in radio likes that, right?
Right.
All right, so listen, across time, how has your relationship changed with social media?
It's definitely not as important for me to create personally. I like being an eavesdropper, if you will. Like, I've never posted anything on TikTok. I can't imagine I ever will, but I'll watch it all day. Right. But for the stations, for the brands, it's key. I mean, that's where you get the new ears. That's where you get to remind people about your brand. So you need to use it as much as you can and be on all the active platforms. I mean, you can really dial it in and know which platform is the most important to your brand, but you got to be there for it, and you have to do whatever is in, and that changes all the time. Now it's video. Before it was posting links to your website. It's going to constantly evolve.
Well, I'm so glad that you said that, by the way. Like, it's important that you dial in what your audience of your format of your station, what's important to them, and where is that platform, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Or you'll burn yourself out and you're wasting your time on a platform that just, it doesn't move the needle.
Right. 2009, you're handling the music for Radio 104.1, but you, hold up, y'all. Something's happening. You became the afternoon personality and programming assistant in Atlanta with Star 94. Here, you know, you get experience with audio streams because you're doing more than just this one job. You boost afternoons ratings. It's like ridiculous. And and you are really involved in programming. Was that fun? And more importantly, because of that loop that goes around Atlanta and how people drive in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. Did you like Atlanta?
So when I first got hired there, JR, who is the reason why I got that job, JR had left Ape in Jacksonville, and I had moved on. And so he didn't really have an opening, but I needed a job. So they had just lost their traffic reporter. And dude, I don't know where I'm going ever. So I'm always lost. In fact, without the GPS, there's no way I'd ever leave my house. I mean, I'm bad. Mm-hmm. I'm directionally challenged. So to put me in market, whatever it is, you know, top 10 market, doing traffic reports in Atlanta, I don't know what, and, you know, the news director at the time would crack up at my breaks because they were all over the place. I'd be talking about, you know, this part of the city and then go into another part of the city that was nowhere near it. It was a debacle. But to answer your question, no, Atlanta stresses me out.
Well, and it's just ironic that I did not know that part about you. By the way, I call that being directionally challenged, which is what I am. Okay, I am the kind of person that maybe, I'm not saying this is true, but I might get lost with the GPS. Just saying,
That's right.
I'm okay to say it. I know who I am.
That was my first big purchase, GPS.
Yeah, right. Well, and it does change the world for you a little
It
bit.
does.
Technology always does that a little bit. 2013, you get program director stripes, but where are we going? Indianapolis, 107.9, the mix. You did
Yes.
afternoons. I'm trying to keep up here because I think we're learning that you're the guy that has jobs hop on to you, or at least that's the way it feels. Same time, you're doing afternoons on 99.5 ZPL. You're driving us home in Indy. Tell us about those stations and your first programming job and how you balanced everything.
So I left Atlanta, and JR again, he was the operations manager in Indianapolis, for WZPL and 107.9 the Mix. And he had known that I definitely wanted to be a PD. I was tired of I, that's really all I ever wanted to be. I was pretty good on the air, so I always did it, but that's not where my heart was. My heart was, like I said, going back to the beginning of the podcast, it's, hey, why'd you play a jingle there? I like
That's exactly
creating
right.
the clocks. I like executing. I like helping morning shows. That's where I was at. So they had just signed on this radio station, which was going against and still is going against the AC station in town, WYXB. And it was our job to kind of be in between WZPL and YXB. And we learned a lot. I learned a lot there because it was an upstart.
Yeah,
Everything
you
was
don't get
going against
everything
us.
handed to you when you're an upstart, right?
No. And obviously they had high expectations for that brand, and we eventually got there, but you have to know when to change the plan. We had to change the plan on that radio station several times throughout the years. Okay, we're not going to be so hot. Okay, we're not going to be so soft. Okay, we're going to lean into 80s. And that taught me a lot that you just can't get married to what you think is the right thing to do, because technically the right thing is this, it's not that.
Well, technically, the right thing is what the consumer wants.
That's
And
right.
look, not for nothing, but we can all learn from entrepreneurs.
That's right.
Entrepreneurs will often start a business and they're going like, here's where we're going. And they're so definitive, but then they learn consumers want something a little different and they do that. I think
Absolutely.
that's really hard to have that exist in big companies today, but it's so important. Consumers rule, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, we wouldn't have a direction without them, for sure.
All right, so listen, things are about to get a lot more complex. You go to Madison, Wisconsin, you jump right into operations. Now, look, that's a whole different level because you are dealing with multiple formats and multiple things. I want you to tell us about this move because it does involve multiple stations.
Yeah, so Intercom at the time, now Odyssey, obviously, owned Indianapolis, and owned Madison. And I got to give them credit. They're a company who has been very, very good to me. They give me the tools to win. They give me enough leash to hang myself, right? And before they have to
Right.
maybe chime in and help me out. And they believed in me, and they came to me with that job and said, hey, you'd be really good at this. I want you to think about it. And I said, nope, I'm not ready. And JR said, yeah, you are. Go. So I took over Mix 105.1, 105.5 Triple M, and 94.9 WOLX. So a classic hits, a Triple A, and a hot AC. And those are really fun formats. That's a really great gig. I mean, they are all over the place. I mean, you got a rock, classic rock station, and then you got a rock station that plays something brand new into something from, the 70s, like AAA is. And then you got a hot AC station, which plays the hits. So it was a great learning experience, without a ton of pressure because of the market size. But at the same time, you have to challenge yourself. So it was a unique situation, and it was a great time, and I loved it there.
All right, let's back up for a minute because I'm tired of hearing from you. I want to hear from JR through you. Okay. What do you think he saw in you where he went, no, you are ready for this? What did he see, do you think?
He's been my biggest champion. I think when, if I had a talk on behalf of him, I came to him through the years and asked questions. And then I would, yes. And then I would do what I felt was right, or probably what he felt was right. And then towards the end in Indianapolis, I'm like, you know what? I got this. I probably got more confident in myself towards the end of my days at 107.9 The Mix in Indy. And I think that's when he was like, dude, you're not coming to me anymore. I think you got this, man. I'm here if you need me, you know, but he knew when it was ready. He knew when it was time.
It's so interesting. You just sort of described the relationship between Ike and what's his name? The tank commander. God bless. What is his name? I can't believe I opened that up without knowing I was going to end that. The guy that got hit by the vehicle in Germany was talking.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Russia. I don't know the name. Yeah.
So for podcast listeners, you're going to have to look that up. You start with Ike and you find out who his best friend is, and then you know what's missing in Lloyd's brain. Okay. So listen, back on point. Finally, I feel like you're filled with all kinds of experience throughout your career. But now, right now, you find yourself in Cleveland.
Yes.
Tell us about your current job. Tell us about the stations. Tell us about everything.
I think you actually said it in the pre-interview, and I've always called it myself the same thing, which is, this is a big boy job.
Yeah, it is.
No, it's wild. So Dave Popovich has run the stations very successfully for a long time. He's a legend in the not only in the building but also in the market. Right. And he was very heavily involved in the interview process for this position. So. Not only was
that's not wait, that's not intimidating, right?
No, not at all. No, but he was great because, you know, the general manager, who's still my general manager, and him were basically the people that were hiring for the job. And I remember saying very early on in the beginning, you know, the general manager, Tom, said to me, you know, what are your thoughts on so and so? And I was just looking at Dave Popovich and I was like, I don't want to call his baby ugly. And Popovich responded without even blinking, I'm not going to be here. You are. What would you do?
Smart.
Really, yeah, smart. He was great.
All right. So listen, you find yourself in this big boy job. I want to know how you manage personalities. Okay. So let's just take that first. How do you manage personalities? Because they're all so different. The business has changed, blah, 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 blah. How do you do it?
It is arguably 85% of my job. So we have a very successful sports station, 92.3 The Fan. We've got WNCX, which is a legendary classic rock station. We have Star 102, our big AC station, and Q104. And so we've got live and local drive time day parts on all of those brands. The Fan is completely live and local. And we've got great managers at the Fan that handle that full time, and also NCX. But I help them. I help coach. I help bring the big priorities forward. But I'm the only guy. I'm the only person running Star 102 and Q104. So that's all on me. And yeah, it's definitely interesting to deal with a sports guy, for example, versus a female co-host on an AC, just as an example.
Absolutely.
And they're completely different people. And obviously that's what you want, but to get the most out of somebody, you yourself as a manager has to almost change your delivery, your expectations, all of that in order to get the most out of somebody. So I told my wife a couple of weeks ago, she's like, how was your week? I'm like, I think I'm just tired. I'm mentally drained.
Listen, let me tell you something. I've seen all the photographs and all that. You and your wife have a fabulous thing going on. She must provide a peaceful home and a restful place and maybe an occupation for you to go do other things.
Yeah, she's fair. She's been it's very fair. She's been awesome. We met in Atlanta, and so she's been with me for all the big boy jobs and has always known when I wanted to do something versus maybe this isn't such a good idea. Maybe I won't apply for that job.
Wait, you picked her up in Atlanta. Does that mean she's a crazy driver?
No. So she's from Miami. So we're good.
Oh, I see. Okay. Okay. So we're good. Everything's cool.
All right.
Let's talk about social media again, only because we talked about managing personalities and we talked about the diverse number of personalities and walking into the room. And you said something that's adjacent to what I think already, which is the pressure in a coaching situation is not on the talent. It's on the coach.
That's right.
It's on the coach to share with you in an honest, open, vulnerable way that they believe in you and that you can do things that you maybe can't see. And what can I bring or what can you bring to that kind of scenario? And now, you know, you said it yourself about social media, and I don't care. Social media, life, whatever you want to say, video.
Mm-hmm.
How are different people embracing social now in your building?
So Odyssey's been great with supporting giving us tools to make it easier, if you will. So we've got several different ways to be able to, you know, post something, for example, mm-hmm. to multiple different places at one time. So that's helpful. You know, since I've been here, we've installed cameras in the on-air studios, and we've got a service that basically real-time edits it and makes it so it's cohesive and can post to several different platforms all with a couple of clicks. Right. So once it's made easier, they have less of an excuse to not do it. Right. So we've been embracing it pretty, we could always do a much better job, obviously, but we've been embracing it here.
And how do you come down on the perfect, let's just make it perfect, or do we just make it human and don't worry about making it perfect? You know, because there are people that do both.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing wrong with being perfect, right? But at the same time, people like raw, people appreciate raw. I mean, that's why podcasts are as popular as they are. They're not all produced up, right? They're you know, the levels are all over the place on certain ones. The graphics are whatever, you know, but mm-hmm. some of the most popular ones are just raw and natural. And you don't have to get that crazy, because it's more important to post something versus nothing.
That's right. The less you post, the less active you are. They know this is the sales department. You don't go see people. You ain't going to sell people.
That's right.
Right. So it's the same for us with consumers. If you don't go see them where they like to be, you're not going to sell them on the fact that they should be listening to you in the afternoon or in the morning or in the midday or whenever it is. Right.
Yeah. Correct. Yeah.
All right. So look, this is the tough one right here. Let's talk about the future. Not a single person that you have ever met or that I have ever met knows anything about 5 minutes in the future. I swear, when I get one of these things in my email or I see somebody talking about the fact that they are going to tell me about the future, I immediately in my brain say, you do not know things about that person. But we love talking about the future and speculating about it. If you could choose local radio's future, what do you think you'd like for local radio to become?
We just need to embrace personalities more. And we're doing a much better job today than we were in the past, for sure, with more afternoon type shows on pop stations, and to find the next YouTube star, the next TikTok star before they go over to that platform would be fantastic as well. But yeah, if we keep embracing personality, and by the way, I may get shot for this, but it doesn't have to be local. It should be local. Right.
Hold up a minute. Let's talk about that, because I will never not take this opportunity. You just said something important.
Mm-hmm.
You hear all these people talking about live and local, live and local, live and local. And usually it is like a sheriff's star. It's on their lapel. They're telling you why the big companies are doing it wrong, or this guy's doing it wrong, or that's not right. The power of local radio, yes, there's something to the live and local thing. The real secret is being relational, relating to your target, drawing them into you. Am I right?
That's absolutely right. You have to be compelling, and compelling can be from Seattle. It doesn't have to be from Cleveland. Now, you know, I always think of NBC, for an example, as to what I would be a perfect, you know, what I would love. The Today Show is out of New York, right? But then before and after that, it's from Cleveland or wherever you are. Then, you know, the afternoon news is from Cleveland. Then they go to the network news. That's not that scary. And that can be local, and that can also be great and compelling nationally, too. But to mix the both is what we need to do.
Yeah, and I'm going to tell you something. Anybody who wants to, if you're doing a morning show, if you look, do yourself a favor. DVR the Today Show. Do 2 or 3 days and break apart how they're doing their content, how they're promoting their show, how they're using their personalities as really, what would you call it? Entry drugs?
Yeah.
NBC. Okay. That's what we should be doing, right?
Absolutely. Yep. You got to hook them.
It's really interesting. It's like modeling another show that you really love on the radio, breaking it apart and seeing how it's built, you know, or as young Chase Daniels would say, hey, why don't y'all play that jingle there? Right?
Why did he anyway? I never got the answer to that.
Oh, he never told you that.
No, yeah, I don't think he did.
No, wait a minute. Maybe he never told you that, but he definitely said, when you're old enough, come down here. I'm going to give you a job.
That's right.
That's the way radio goes. Listen, Case, I want to thank you for spending this time with us and being our fabulous guest.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you so much for the interview. It was great talking to you.
Boy, good to talk to him. Listen, please don't take for granted what we're doing here. Help us by sharing this episode of our podcast. You can do this directly from our website, rainmakerpathway.com. It's in our free blog section. You'll see it there. And it says audio. That's us. And you can share it with other people that you know that really want to take advantage of this kind of thing and get ahead in the radio business today, right now. Rainmakerpathway.com anytime. Listen, this episode of the Encouragers, the Radio Rally podcast, is designed exactly like the other 150 plus episodes that are already in the archive when you subscribe for free on your smartphone to encourage radio pros at all levels. I want to thank Chase Daniels, ops manager with all those Odyssey stations, that big boy job in Cleveland, for being our guest. A very special thank you to Joe Kelly for producing our podcast and Just Joe Productions. .com for creating our audio footprint and distributing the Encouragers, the Radio Rally podcast. Please listen up. We say this all the time on our podcast. We mean this with our heart and soul. I share it with clients regularly too. Once you have a radio station, you can get anything else you want. If you're not doing that, call me. I can help you. If you want to know more about this philosophy, I love talking about it. It's my passion to tell why radio can be larger than most people think, not shrinking. And I absolutely love to prove it. No one can stop you if you have great strategy, solid process, you're committed to passionate execution. If you don't remember anything else from our podcast, please take this with you. Be kinder than you have to be. Thank you for being part of the Radio Rally with the Encouragers. Go make it a great week in local radio.